and to have a few moments to share with you some thoughts about Good Friday. In the last week of school before the holidays, I had the opportunity to share with around 270 students from Buninyong Primary School about what Easter means to Christians. Some of the children who are here today were part of all of that. And I showed the video that we saw just a few moments ago. It was one of the things that I did in the time that I had. And I talked with them about Jesus dying on the cross and coming back to life again. And after that, similar to what we're doing now, I gave them some activity sheets to do while I wandered around and had a chat to them, giving an opportunity for them to ask any questions that they had. And they had some great questions, as you might imagine. And one of the questions that was asked numerous times was, why did Jesus die? Now, I talked about that a little bit from up the front, but they wanted to know more. They wanted to know, why did people kill Jesus? It's a great question, isn't it? And really the fundamental question of Good Friday. Why did Jesus die? Why did people kill him? People die all of the time. It happens to all of us eventually. But Christians make a fuss of Jesus' death like no other person in all of history. We usually celebrate people's lives, but Christians celebrate Jesus' death. Why is that? Why did Jesus die? Why did people kill him? And so that's really what I want to talk about for a few moments this morning from a couple of different angles. And ultimately to think about what, if anything, his death has to do with us. So the first angle I want to look at with the question of why Jesus died is that of who is responsible for Jesus' death. Who killed Jesus? As a church, we've been going through John's Gospel, hearing about all of the amazing things that Jesus said and the things that he did over the 3 years of his public ministry. We heard about some of the healings that Jesus did, other sorts of miracles, including raising someone from the dead. And we also heard some of his authoritative teaching, teaching like no one, anybody at the time had ever heard. But we also saw how the religious leaders of the day became increasingly unhappy with Jesus because he spoke often against them and people were listening to him more than they were to them. And numerous times we heard how they plotted to try and kill Jesus. Even a couple of times picking up stones and being ready to throw them at him to try and kill him. And in our dramatised reading at the start, we heard from chapter 18 and 19 of John's Gospel and how the religious leaders there are guided by Judas Iscariot, were the ones who were responsible for arresting, trialling and calling the Roman ruler to crucify Jesus. So at one level, it was the religious leaders who were responsible for Jesus' death. It was they who killed him. But as we've gone through John's Gospel, we have also heard numerous times how despite the evil plans of the religious leaders to arrest and kill Jesus, we've heard how Jesus avoided their clutches every single time. And not because he was clever and outsmarted the religious leaders. No, we are told that it was simply because it was not God's time for Jesus to die. So humans made their plans, but it was God who was in control of what was happening. It was he, not people, who decided when it was that Jesus was going to die. So God then, not people, was ultimately the one who was responsible for Jesus' death. He allowed humans to kill Jesus when he wanted it to happen. And Jesus was well aware that this was God's plan for him to die on the cross. Several times in each of the Gospels, we hear Jesus voice his prediction to his disciples that he was going to die or be killed. Jesus was not at all surprised when he was arrested and crucified, because it was all part of God's plan from the very beginning. But why? What possible purpose did God have for allowing Jesus to die on the cross? If God was behind it and in control of Jesus' death, why did he want him to die? That's a burning question. Why? And what, if anything, does it mean for us? Well, I guess one possible reason is that God hated Jesus. That's why people have other people killed, isn't it? So I'm told. Or maybe Jesus had done something wrong by God and he deserved to be punished. Another possible answer is that Jesus died as some kind of extreme example for us. And maybe to teach us something about giving up ourselves or sacrificing ourselves for the good of others. Could one of these be the reason why God had Jesus killed? Well, throughout John's Gospel, Jesus has said a number of things that help us understand why God sent him to die and why Jesus willingly went through it. So, for example, in John chapter 10, and Jesus says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." I'm the good shepherd, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus here is conveying the idea that his death will benefit other people in some way. And then just before he did die, Jesus said this to his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 13. "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend." Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Now, if that's not familiar to you from the Bible, then it may be familiar to you from Anzac Day, where the verse is used to speak about how soldiers gave up their lives for our sake. They died so that we might live. And that is exactly what Jesus means when he says this. His love for each person, past, present, and future, is so great that he lays down his life so that we might live. He dies in our place. So the reason Jesus dies, the reason God sent him to die, is not because God hates him, or because God was punishing him for doing something wrong, or to set us an example of sacrificing ourselves for others. But the reason God sent him to die was to actually be a sacrifice for others, for us. The reason Jesus died was for us, to benefit us and all people. But it was really only after his death and resurrection that his disciples understood exactly how it was that people would benefit from Jesus' death. And they wrote about it extensively in other parts, in other letters that we have preserved for us in the New Testament. Let me give you just a couple of brief examples of what they said. The Apostle Paul says in the letter to the Ephesian church, in chapter 1, verse 7, he says, "In Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Again, he said, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, the Bible's big story is that we are all sinners. That is, we all reject God. We ignore him. We live our lives without reference to him. We are the rulers of our own lives. And the Bible also tells us that the consequence of sin is death. That is, eternal separation from God and everything that is good, which is what is meant by the word hell, which is a word that has got a bit of airing recently in the media. But because of God's great love for us, the very people he made, he was not content to let us suffer such an horrific forever death separated from him. Instead, he sent Jesus to suffer for us, to experience the punishment that we all deserve. That's why Jesus died on the cross. Through it, God was redeeming us back, or buying us back from the hell that we were heading for. Well, here's another example from another part of the New Testament explaining how we benefit from Jesus' death. Now, this one is from the Apostle Peter in his first letter, chapter 3, verse 18. He says, "Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God." Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Now, Peter here is using this notion of substitution, where Jesus was substituted for us on the cross. He took the place on the cross that we deserve for our sin. He was the righteous one, the perfect one with no sin. And we, the unrighteous. The righteous one, Jesus, took the place of the unrighteous ones, us, on the cross. And the result of that exchange is that we are brought to God. We are brought into a relationship, a friendship with God. So Jesus' death on the cross was all about us, and God himself providing the only way for us to be forgiven of our sin, redeeming us from an eternity in hell to be with God instead as his friend for all of eternity. Friends, that's why Jesus died. And that's why it is that we keep remembering and proclaiming his death, both in church, but also to the wider world. But it needs to be said that no one automatically receives the benefits of Jesus' death. By that I don't mean that we somehow have to earn it. No, the only thing we have to do to receive the benefits of Jesus' death for us is to receive it by faith. And John, the gospel writer, puts it this way in the most famous verse of the Bible, John chapter 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Or this from verse 36 of the same chapter. "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life." What we have to do is pretty simple. But it is life-changing. It is eternity-changing. And if you haven't yet really believed in Jesus, if you haven't acknowledged your sin before God and believed that Jesus paid the price of your sin on the cross, then I would be most delighted to speak with you afterwards, or at another time, about that and help you make that step. Or I'd be more than happy just to talk with you if you have questions about anything to do with Jesus and his death. But for now, we're going to sing a song, unsurprisingly, all about Jesus' death.